and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President-elect Trump's begun planning for his second term in the White House. CBS's Robert Costa.
Many Republican senators privately told me they are already speaking to President-elect Trump about moving quickly on confirmations. So they want to get moving on the agenda, even if these confirmations get stalled in the upper chamber.
The balance of power in the lower chamber, the House, still undecided, but leaning Republican. The implications of Mr. Trump's victory on his pending legal cases, Loyola Law. Jessica Levinson.
The two federal cases, I think, almost certainly will end quickly.
Wind-driven wildfires are swallowing up dozens of homes north of Los Angeles. CBS News LA's Jeff Nguyen is in Camarillo.
The intensity of the fire is so strong that it actually lights up part of this canyon.
Red flag warnings are in effect, and more than 10,000 people have been ordered to leave. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin's 2024 presidential election saw a near-record turnout. Stuart J. Waddles has the story.
About 72.6% of eligible voters cast a ballot, just shy of a 2004 record. The Wisconsin Elections Commission says about 3.4 million people participated in this year's election, marking the highest number of votes in the state's history. While the presidential race drew the most attention, fewer votes participated in down-ballot contests. About 30,000 fewer votes were cast in the Senate race and 193,000 fewer in the state's voting referendum.
Attorney General Josh Call, alongside a bipartisan coalition of 30 state attorneys general, announced Monday a $1.37 billion settlement agreement with Kroger. The settlement addresses the grocery chain's role in the U.S. opioid crisis. Wisconsin is set to receive up to $21.8 million in payments for opioid abatement. This puts Wisconsin at $780 million in total for national prescription opioid settlements. The number of Wisconsinites 75 and older is expected to increase by nearly 75% over the next 20 years, according to a study by Forward Analytics. That means by 2030, the state is looking at needing an additional 33,000 new beds just to keep our current ratio of essentially 194 beds for every 1,000 people over the age of 75. As of last year, the state totaled about 80,000 beds in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. There are still some open spots for the community conversations happening today from 4 to 5:30 at McMillan Library. You can participate in conversations about how we can make Wood County a healthier place for everyone. You'll need to register at healthypeoplewoodcounty.org. Space is limited. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Tapphacker.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners in radio. And we're not just joined by all that today, or our good friend, Brittany Merlot. We are joined by our old friend, the Sun.
Yes.
Hello, Sun. Good to see you. How you been? I walked into the studio just running around this morning and everything, and I get here before the sun comes up, mm-hmm. and I walk in, and I haven't gotten to see the sunrise in a while, and I got to watch it this morning. It was fantastic, Brittany.
Oh, that sounds so serene. I'm so excited. This big old happy high pressure. That's what I always call it because it always gets people smiling. It's moving in. It's taking over today, tomorrow, and even into portions of Friday and Saturday as well. It's just going to be a gorgeous end to the week. And I will say, if you're feeling anxious or stressed or anything in any way, my recommendation, something that works for me, is going out for a walk. Really just get outside, feel the fresh air, enjoy the sunshine. You know, that vitamin D definitely helps things. And today's the day to do it. If not tomorrow, we're good to go. We are looking at temperatures today reaching into those low 50s and then the mid 50s tomorrow. So some above average temperatures comfortable out there, and the wind is barely going to be moving too as well. So just a gorgeous next few days.
Mm, perfect fall weather.
Over under how many people we see in shorts tomorrow? I'm going to say at least three or four we see.
Does that include you?
Yeah. Yes. Touché. Brittany, real quick before we let you go, Seth and I, our opening topic today is why does 60 degrees feel colder in the fall than it does in the spring? We're going to dive into this one a little bit, but I thought this was an interesting topic.
Yeah, no, that really is. I feel like it's our bodies are just so used to the heat that the cold kind of cuts right through us, and it's harder for us to adjust and get those, you know, red blood cells really built up to handle the winters that we're used to. And then when you come off of the crazy winter, your blood is ready and thicker and all of these things, and you're used to that. 60 degrees in spring feels like summer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Yep.
We appreciate you, Brittany. No, it's good.
Very
good stuff. We're going to find out. We'll find out how where you land on that one. Brittany, thank you so much for joining us. We'll get together tomorrow, get people ready for the weekend.
Sounds good. Can't wait. Have a good day.
You too. Best in the business, our friend Brittany Merlot, joining us every morning right in this time slot. Seth and I are going to get into new relationship trend, using ChatGPT to win fights.
What?
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. I think that's start looking for a new relationship is what I think.
That seems like a really good, that seems exactly like where that one's going to go. Yeah. We got that one coming up for you. We're also going to talk about Steve from Blue's Clues has got something for us. We have got the 9 o'clock hour kicking off with our, of course, what we do on Thursdays, our pet of the week. Looking forward to talking to the Southwick County Maine Society today.
Yeah.
Seth and I got a bunch of entertainment news for you. We're going to talk about a couple of movies that are going to be made, one off of an old children's toy that I never would have guessed in a billion years.
Okay.
And a George Clinton biopic. I want to get into that one. All that coming up.
Piqued my interest.
And also all the Pixar movies ranked. We've got this one just sitting here, and we've been looking to get into this. And I was talking to a couple of listeners the last couple of days, and they were looking for palate cleansers and for things to kind of just throw on the TV to, you know, just zone out.
Yeah.
Just basically.
Nothing wrong with that.
Kind of, I don't feel like I know I need to think enough to breathe, okay? But outside of that.
Slate, right? Yeah, just wipe it out. Yeah.
I'm not even sure blinking's going to happen. I don't know about that. You just want movies to be able to, and this is one of those things that a lot of people go to, a lot of the Pixar movies, a lot of animated movies.
Makes sense, yeah.
We'll get into some of that. We'll get all those things coming up for you, but as I, NDL Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner. As I mentioned, does 60 degrees in the fall somehow feel colder to you than the same temperature in the spring? Someone asked weather experts, what up with that? And here, I hope they asked just like that.
Yeah, what up? Meteorologist guys?
I should have asked Brittany that way. Yeah. Just like that.
What up?
Well, come up. I should have really pressed her. Come on, Brittany. But here are the four reasons 60 might feel like t-shirt weather in April, but sweater weather in November. The humidity level. It tends to be higher in spring. When the humidity level is high, it tends to feel warmer.
Right, exactly.
I think that was the first and the only one that I was thinking of, honestly.
Right, because it's usually a lot drier as we head towards winter. So, yeah, that makes sense.
This article comes to us from Reader's Digest, and a big shout-out to them. I will always owe them a gratitude. They were the first people to publish me. But also, this is one of those articles, I'd have probably just read the first part, I'll be honest. I'm like, oh, humidity level, well, that's all.
Oh, there you are, that's all I need.
But there's so much more to it, actually. I would have not been as informed.
Right.
The ground is colder. The air temperature might be 60, but how cold the ground is matters too. If you're talking about a 60 degree day on May 7th versus November 7th, the temperature of the ground is a lot colder in November, of course.
Right, as it starts to cool off. I had never thought about that, but man, that does have a lot to do with it. And of course, the humidity, too, at least in Wisconsin, in the Midwest, the northern Midwest, as the snow melts, that increases the humidity by a lot as it starts to evaporate. So, gosh, that makes sense.
My parents' house, we recently had a part of the roof redone. And it's a huge, kind of thing, that you, especially right before winter hits and everything. And then, the very next day is when we started getting all that rain. So that was really nice.
Nice timing.
But then my dad's next big project is he wants to put up a fence.
Right.
And we've been talking and building on this and working on it. And he's actually done a lot of the homework on this one and everything. I'm really proud of him for. But we are gearing up for it. And they're like, oh, we got to wait till spring. Like we could probably get them into the ground now and everything and realistically put it up, but want to take our time with it. And the ground, much more, you know, as far as my brother who's put up a fence before was saying, be a lot better to do in the spring and all
exactly.
that. So we're just going to plan it out. That's and everything, good. But that ground is definitely a lot colder.
Yep.
The wind is next. It fall tends to be windier. It might be 60 degrees, but not when the you factor in the wind chill.
Yeah, I mean, like the last couple of weeks, we've had tons of strong winds, and that does cool things off considerably.
And you're used to the previous season.
Of course. That's what Brittany said. Yeah,
our bodies take time to accumulate. So 60 degrees can feel balmy if it was 30 degrees a few weeks ago, but it can feel pretty chilly if you're coming off a recent warm spell.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's because we're warm-blooded, man. That's the whole thing.
I don't know if it's okay. Top 10 like most hated things, like but like low on the list. Like now we're not talking real hate. Like you just strongly dislike.
Right.
It is winter. I get in the shower and getting out.
Yeah.
Just that cold.
That blast. Yes. Of cold. Just yes. I mean, and yeah, it doesn't last that long, but still, it's like. Jolting. Right?
I will figure out a way to do radio in the shower because I do not want to get out. I just want to stay in there.
I'm in the shower
spend
now.
Spend all my paycheck on my water bill. I'm
not getting out.
I know what's waiting for me. I know no matter how warm I am right now, as soon as I turn that water off.
And
shower curtains, for the love of all that is. Like this, okay, now actually.
Oh, now you're on it now. Yeah.
Shower curtains, man. I don't know what it is. My parents cannot seem to have a shower curtain that does not want to, like, get with me. Like, like flirt with me. The shower curtain will not leave me alone. All I'm trying to do is wash up and get out of there, and it's on me. And it's on me. Get off me. And it just drives me nuts.
Oh.
That is one of my biggest pet peeves,
yes,
I think.
Yes, the shower
I'm realizing.
Curtain.
I thought I only had, like, one or two pet peeves. I think I got, like, three or four, man, and that's one of them.
Maybe you get older, you get a few more. You start collecting more as you get older.
It's just getting closer and closer to just you're going to just find me. Where's James? He's outside yelling at a cloud.
Yep, he finally lost it. He finally lost it.
Yep, one day. It's not today. Not today.
Not today.
We'll be back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show at WFHR.
Whew, I don't know about you, but I get shivers every time I think about the upcoming cooking for the holidays. I'm not the best cook or great with hosting parties, so it's always stressful. This year is different, though. This year, I'm ordering my dinner pre-made from El Cafe in Port Edwards. I got full three-course meals for all and a homemade pie. Now, all I need to be in charge of is the dishes, and I can handle that. Don't worry about your holidays. Call El Cafe today. Let them do the heavy work and take your holiday back and enjoy.
DoorWorks. I have a serious problem, and I don't know if I need you or an exorcist. My garage door opens all on its own without me pushing the button or anything.
Ma'am, let me do a little investigating, and I'll have an answer for you in no time. I discovered the problem, but it took a little detective work. Your equipment is absolutely fine.
Is it possessed, then?
No, ma'am. It's much simpler than that. Sometimes a low battery can trigger the door to open randomly. We've cast out your dead battery, and your door is working fine.
97.5 FM WFHR would like to sincerely thank all of the sponsors who have helped keep Pet of the Week on air for all the animals at the Southwood County Humane Society. Thanks to this program, the shelter receives help, the community stays informed, and animals find their forever homes. If you would like to help and be a sponsor of the show, please call 715-496-0710. From everyone at WFHR, thank you for being a part of this great show, Thursdays at 9 a.m.
Luann Goetz is your local Wisconsin Rapids Medicare specialist. For over 27 years, she's been helping individuals find the right Medicare coverage and is dedicated to ensuring you get the best plan for your needs. If you're nearing Medicare age or considering a switch, let Luann guide you through the process. With her personalized service and commitment to your health, you are in safe hands. Your Medicare peace of mind starts with Luann Goetz. Call 715-424-4393 today or visit ticinsurance.com.
A little patchy fog or some low clouds this morning, but we will clear out. It'll be mostly sunny later this morning into this afternoon with a high in the low 50s today. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Tomorrow will come, and girl, I can't wait. It's our anniversary.
little Tony Tone to play us into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to celebrate with us and get us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody, and treat yourself and get on over to El Cafe.
Yes, indeed.
221 Market Avenue, beautiful Port Edwards. Reach out to them right now. They've got some great specials going on over there. They got a Trey Amigos breakfast burrito and El Cafe melt. Soup of the day is chicken dumpling. They got a chicken chili, too. A chicken chili. Interesting.
Oh, chili weather, man. Uh-huh. I love my chili.
Yeah, dine in or carry out. Give them a call, 715-887-2233, 887-2233. Or visit them today at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Buy local, support local, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
And get us those B-days and anniversaries. We want to celebrate with you.
We do.
Get them to us by go ahead and direct message us on our Facebook pages. You can email us, info@WFHR.com. And, of course, call up.
715-424-2600 or download the Civic Media app, which I'm guessing you already have, and just one touch dialing there, just go to WFHR. By the way, WFHR should be your favorite station.
Should be.
That should be. And then you can just click, and you're good.
You're right
there.
Good
to go. Yep.
That'll help you also tomorrow with the Culver Star of the Day and winning that contest, everybody. That app comes in handy, I've heard from listeners. So go ahead and download that app. And thank you so much for doing so. And let's go ahead and dive right in. We've got two possible qualifiers. We need a one or two?
Let's do one today.
All right. Gives us the qualifier. And getting right into it, want to wish a happy birthday to Lore Bennett.
Lore, happy birthday.
Enjoy your day. Hope it's a great one for you. She's a mutual friend of my sister and I.
Oh, really?
She's awesome.
Too. Lore, that's an interesting name.
It's a great name, isn't it? Yeah, it's a really good name.
She's not an android, is she? No, obscure Star Trek reference there.
And you know what? She's a Trekkie. So,
is a Trekkie.
I should check. I should find out. enjoy your day, Lore. Hope it's a good one.
Yeah.
And celebrating birthday or anniversary, Lauren and Paula.
Lauren and Paula?
Lauren and Paula.
Happy anniversary.
Enjoy, Lauren and Paula Evanson. Wishing you guys a happy anniversary.
Yes, indeed.
Evanson, sorry. Lauren and Paula Evanson.
All right.
They are our qualifiers today.
Okay.
And we don't have a number, but we do wish them a happy anniversary.
Doesn't matter. What are numbers, you know?
I like the idea of getting married in early November. When the elections do come around, you've got something to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly.
You got like, okay, well, we got a bit.
No matter what happens with the election, we'll be happy.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. and we wish you guys a great one, and you're our qualifiers today.
Mm-hmm.
We take a look at our celebrity list of birthday and anniversaries. And first up, Lord. Like, what is with the Lores today?
The L-O-R's. Yeah, yeah. We got the Lores, Lords. All right. Yep.
What is her real name? I was curious about that.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
I know I've heard it.
Yes. But, and I believe she's Australian, right?
Is she Australian or English?
She's one of the two. I can't remember. Oh, gosh.
Huh. You know what? She's New Zealander.
She's a Kiwi. Oh, that's cool.
Ella Marja Lani Yellick O'Connor.
Wow.
So Lord seems like
Lord's
a good
better,
idea.
Yeah.
It seems like a good idea.
So when some entertainers take a nom de guerre, I think that's it makes sense sometimes.
Yeah.
especially if a name like that.
Like, I'm very adamant about, hey, you should stick with your real name. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mary Steenburgen, Mary Stuart Masterson, Benedict Cumberbatch. There's plenty of actors that go by a real name.
Yep.
It is very difficult. Then there's an eight, like, word, like, eight, every letter in the alphabet is in there.
What are you going to go by? I mean, especially as a musician, it's just easier to go by the single name. So
She's fantastic. Great singer, songwriter. Of course, Royals, her big hit.
inspired by a picture of George Brett.
How about that?
Of all things. Yeah. Yep.
And a lot of people, it's funny, when that first came out, they thought she was English and thought that she was speaking about royal family and all that. Couldn't be farther from it.
Nope.
Let's see here. Bethany Mota, YouTube fashion expert, is 29 today. Adam Devine is 41. Andy on Modern Family. Adam on Workaholics. Bumper in the Pitch Perfect movies. He's been in a bunch of commercials, too.
Yep.
He's had a nice career. He's
having a
solid career. Getting a lot of good work. Let's see here. Christopher Knight is 67. Peter Brady on the Brady Bunch.
Oh, that's right. I was like, I know that name from where? There it
took
is.
Took me a second.
Yep.
Let's see here. Joni Mitchell is 81.
Wow.
Just,
Big Yellow Taxi.
Yeah. Great singer, songwriter. But even more so, I think Joni Mitchell's career was almost bigger than her music in some ways, just because of what she was doing with folk music and rock and trying to, like, there was such a time there where the James Taylor, the Carole King, the Joni Mitchell,
yep.
It was its own genre.
Basically, really. It was, yeah. And she is one of those that was not afraid to explore different genres. Her version of Goodbye Pork Pie Hat that she played, that she recorded with Charles Mingus, is so that she added lyrics to, is such an it's a really cool tune. It's really neat.
Well, and I believe, if I remember it right, she sought him out.
Something like that.
And everything to do that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's understanding not only great musicians, Charles Mingus, one of the greats.
One of all time greats, yeah.
But also understanding that, you know, this guy would be able to put what needs to be in this song.
I'm telling you.
He's a good singer, a good songwriter, too.
Yes, he wrote some standards, yeah.
Johnny Rivers, 82 today.
Wow.
Secret agent man. poor Side of Town and Sway Into the Music, Slow Dancing.
It's interesting. Johnny Rivers was a songwriter, but he didn't like to record his own stuff. There were other people that recorded his songs, but he liked to record other. I don't know. He explained it once, but I can't remember what it was. But that's really interesting. You don't see that very often.
I never heard that.
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah. Morgan Spurlock would have been 54 today, born in 1970, passed away just recently, back in May, from a battle with cancer.
Right.
Of course, did Super Size Me. I did some other documentary work there as well. But that Super Size Me movie, you know, when every once in a while there's a doc that comes out that it seems like everybody sees and that at the very least everybody knows about.
Right. I remember very distinctly, it was a big news. When it came out. Now, it has not aged well because of we found out some certain things about he wasn't 100% honest about some of the premises that he did with it. It was still an interesting doc, and I would recommend people still watch it just to see the filmmaking aspect of it. You don't have to necessarily take its conclusions to the bank, though.
And at the very least, it certainly showed the importance of these documentaries in journalism.
Of course.
It changed McDonald's.
But it did.
That movie changed McDonald's.
They don't do the supersize thing anymore.
Yeah, yeah,
they haven't since.
And it got the whole the whole country to start thinking, not that movie. We were already trending this way.
Right.
But it got us to start caring a lot more about ingredients.
Yeah.
And
I think it did.
It's the important work that needs to be done. That's why documentaries are so important. And,
exactly.
And they need to be done well.
Yes.
100%.
Keep them interested, too, right? Yeah.
Right. Because you tackle it like we've seen this happen before, where there are a documentary about one topic, but multiple documentaries about it. And those first ones that come out, if they're not accurate or they don't do a good job, people get, I'm not going to even bother with the others.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
Yep.
Like journalism's important.
Exactly.
King Kong Bundy would have been celebrating a birthday today, born in 1955. 500-pound wrestler, fought Hogan in WrestleMania 2, I think?
Wow.
2 or 3. I'm pretty sure it was 2.
What a great man. Those wrestlers from the late 70s and early 80s, they had the great names.
They had
some of the great stuff. Oh, I love it.
There's one or two, you know, maybe a handful of exceptions, but otherwise all the greatest wrestling names were in the 80s.
They were.
All of them. All of them. Junkyard Dog.
Yeah.
Tito Santana.
Yeah. Some a little less apropos today. Iron Sheik. Oops.
Yeah.
Didn't age well, but
he had a guy like Sergeant Slaughter who was going around telling people he was an actual soldier.
Yeah.
He was just an actor.
No, you can't do that, man. Can't do that.
But all of those pale in comparison. Even Junkyard Dog, great name.
One of the best.
Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Yeah.
That's the best ever. You're never going to get me to go, I will die on this hill. Jimmy Superfly Snuka is the greatest wrestling name ever.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Well, that's a good one.
That's up there, but I think you may be right.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake ain't so bad. That's not a bad one either. I'm just going to spend the rest of the hour
talking about 80s wrestlers' names. That's all we're going to do.
Dana Plato would have been celebrating a birthday today. Mm-hmm. Born in 64, passed away in 99. I watched Different Strokes as a kid, and I liked her a lot.
Yep.
I liked her as Kimberly. It's a shame, drugs are horrible, and we lost a good one there. It would have been interesting to see what her career would have been without the drugs, without that happening.
Yep.
And we wrap up with Joe Negro, born in 1944, passed in 2006. I'm just going to turn my mic off and let
me talk about Joe Negro.
Yeah, if we're talking about a baseball player, I just move out of the way and let you do it.
So he was the younger brother of Phil Negro. Of course, they were both knuckleballers. Both had very long careers. Phil got into the Hall of Fame because he was a little bit better. But Joe also had a very good career. He played with the Twins. He's probably best remembered in 1987 for having a piece of sandpaper in his pocket. What? I don't have a piece of sandpaper here. Oh, what is that on the ground? I don't know. Where did that come from?
If you haven't seen that video, you have
look
to
it up.
See it. Because you will see a grown man turn into a seven-year-old in 2 seconds. Just like, what? It's so casual the way he does it.
He tries to get rid of it. And it's like, and the umpire sees it immediately. He's like, what? Come on.
even though the ump sees it right away, it looked like something. I don't want to say he like practiced it, but the way baseball players can be sometimes with their routines and everything, it felt like he had okay, if I get caught, this is what I'm going to do kind of thing. And he got caught.
Yeah, he sure did. But he had a great, I don't want to just, one thing in his career. He had a very good career and a very long one. So kudos to you, Joe.
And one more time, wishing happy birthday to Laura Bennett.
Happy birthday, Laura.
And a very happy anniversary to our qualifiers, Lauren and Paula Evenson.
Laura and Paula, congratulations. Have a great anniversary. Have fun.
If you're looking for something to do, we encourage you to head on over to El Cafe.
Absolutely.
They're open right now, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Head on over there, check out some of their specials for today. Even make plans for tomorrow. They got that fish fry that's getting more and more popular over there.
Nice.
Be sure to check that out. If you're interested in dine-in or carry-out, you can give them a call, 715-887-2233, and visit them at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards.
Yeah.
We will take a quick time out, check in with our news, our local news. We've got some sports for you. Take care of our promos and everything, and we'll get back here and talk a little bit about this ChatGPT thing with the relationships. I want to get into that. I haven't pre-read it, so I'm curious. We'll find
this
out
will be fun.
On the morning show here at WFHR.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you received an envelope in September from the Wood County Clerk of Circuit Courts stamped with the red official mail and you didn't return it, you may be asked to appear before a judge. It's not for anything you've done wrong, but to see if you qualify to serve jury duty. Wood County sent out almost 3,000 juror qualification questionnaires for 2025. Less than 300 were not returned, and that's a fantastic return rate. Circuit court staff have mailed out a second notice to the people who didn't return the first questionnaire. If you receive one of these envelopes, you'll need to fill out the questionnaire online, even if you think you don't qualify for jury duty. If you don't return it, the next step is an order to show cause hearing, and you'll have to appear in front of a judge. Senator Tammy Baldwin declared victory over Eric Hovde, but the count was close enough for Hovde to request a recount. In Wisconsin elections, the trailing candidate can demand a recount if the margin between candidates is 1% or lower. If Hovde does request a recount, what does it look like? Here's Chief Election Officer Megan Wolf.
They're going to bring in the election inspectors from each of the municipalities and then representatives from the political parties involved in that contest will be there. And then they're going to have a bipartisan recount board.
Since the margin is above 0.25%, the Hovde campaign would have to pay for the recount. Hovde has not yet called for this recount. Be ready for a lane closure on the Jackson Street Bridge in Wisconsin Rapids. This is due to the bridge lighting project of the city. The westbound lane closure started yesterday and will continue through Wednesday, November 13th. Westbound traffic is detoured onto 1st Street North, then onto Market Street, then 3rd Street South, before continuing onto the East Riverview Expressway. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Smith says he wanted to be traded. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After 5.5 seasons, linebacker Preston Smith was traded from the Packers to the Steelers. Smith telling reporters in Pittsburgh he requested to be traded after Green Bay changed their defense from a 3-4 to a 4-3.
It's just what I've been playing in the last 9 years of my career. Into this past season, is what I was comfortable playing in and what I got used to playing in. So, you know, just being back in the system is like, you know, riding that your favorite bike again.
College basketball tonight, the Badgers host the Montana State Bobcats at the Kohl Center. NBA tonight, the Bucks and the Utah Jazz at Fiserv Forum. Chris Middleton, recovering from surgery on both ankles, still not ready to play.
You know, everybody's different. You know, trying to think of someone. LeBron. I saw LeBron's ankle hit the floor, and he kept playing. Everybody's different. And Chris has had a lot of injuries and surgical stuff, so it's just not as fast as we thought it would be, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers Mondays at 5:30 on WFHR, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin Decides 2024, and this is the only place you received election results from across the state live.
And you're responding to our coverage.
I just want to thank you for being there for us.
Wisconsin is not people that are sore losers.
Well, no matter what happens, there will be a tomorrow, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Here for you after the election or any time.
Real news and great conversation on 97.5 WFHR and the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we continue to analyze the election that was and look ahead to the weekend to get our minds off of things. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
A little patchy fog or some low clouds this morning, but we will clear out. It'll be mostly sunny later this morning into this afternoon with a high in the low 50s today. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Sorry. I love the Four Tops. The Temptations are fantastic, but every time I hear the Spinners, man. It's the harmonies in the voices are fantastic, mm-hmm. but they had a great band.
Their arrangements were so one of a kind.
It's telling you. They're just different. There's something about them. And this is different. This is a different way. But the older I get, the more I realize I don't think I was really built for relationships. I don't know, at least especially modern ones.
Love.
The new relationship hack that they're saying here for 2024. But is this fair? I don't know what this is. So especially young couples are doing this right now. They're now using ChatGPT to officiate their arguments and help them win fights. So what you do is you feed it the details of your argument along with each person's stance. The idea is it's a robot, so it's neutral. The Huffington Post talked to a few experts who said going to ChatGPT for relationship advice might not be the worst idea for some stuff, especially if you can't afford a therapist. But be careful because it's not really that neutral.
No.
This is okay. So it could be a good tool if you just needed to vent or get general advice on how to have more productive arguments. Because we're all going to fight. We're all going to argue.
Yeah.
But you want to solve something, or do you just want to bark?
Well, see, that's the thing. When they say, to win an argument, that should not be your goal, everybody, if you're in a relationship. It is to solve the argument, maybe not solve is a great word, but find the common ground, right? Figure out what the problem is, communicate, and then say, okay, here we are, let's move on.
What do we need to do to get back to snuggling? That's what that's what this is
very
about.
Important stuff. Yes,
yes. It could be helpful for those reasons, but maybe not so much else. And again, it is biased. For example, there's a good chance it'll back you up if you phrase it like, "I think they're being a jerk. Am I nuts?" you know, something like that, you're already making the algorithm, the computer system, biased towards the other person.
You're leading.
You're leading the witness.
You're leading, if we're doing it in a legal sense, yeah, you're leading. So, and remember, okay, these large language models, I really dislike calling them AI because they're not really. They're only as good as the information that they have already collected. This is, you know, and yeah, they've got the whole internet, but the whole internet isn't unbiased. I mean, so come on.
My papa was the first person I knew to have a home computer and got one of those old PCs and everything. It was back when my sister and I were living with my nana papas. This is quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they had a game for my sister to play, and my sister was struggling with it. And she just yells, "Papa, this computer's stupid." And he just comes over to her with the kindest, gentlest voice and everything. It's like, "Honey, the computer's only as smart as the person using it." And Jill just stared at him like she didn't understand.
She did not understand.
It's the truth. These computers can't turn themselves on. They can't type for themselves.
No.
They're only going to do what we do with them.
Right.
So a 25-year-old guy went to Reddit for advice because his girlfriend constantly uses ChatGPT to win arguments. He said she'll pause a fight, go to another room to ask ChatGPT about it, and come back with a well-constructed argument, breaking down everything he said or did. He doesn't think it's a fair way to fight, so he asked her to stop, but she ran that through ChatGPT, and it said he was being insecure, of course. Now, that's one thing I can see, actually, ChatGPT and computers being like, "Hey, no, you're not getting rid of me."
Yeah, right, yeah.
I'm incredibly useful. The replies to his post that got the most was like, respond with ChatGPT until she gets the point. I would think that, okay, so anytime they're like, "Hey, where do you want to go for dinner tonight?" "Well, let me go to ChatGPT." "What do you want to watch tonight?" "Let me go to ChatGPT." Like, I don't know if that would work, because this seems like this is not going to work. Like, I am no relationship advice expert.
This reminds me. And this is always a bad sign, okay? This reminds me of an episode of The Twilight Zone. Okay, bad sign, first of all.
Yes.
It has actually stars William Shatner in it, and he and his young wife, they get stuck in a town they've never been to. Their car breaks down, so they have to bring it to a shop, and while they're waiting, they go to a restaurant to kill some time. And at the booth they're at, there's a little fortune-telling machine. You put a penny in, you get a little fortune. And it turns out the machine can actually predict what's going to happen in the future.
Whoa.
And so the moral of the story is, okay, William Shatner's character doesn't want to leave, because he can keep getting his fortune from here, and it's always going to be right. Mm. But they couldn't leave the booth. Mm. And you see other people come in, they're like nervous, and they're like, "Oh, we got to find out what's happening," you know, kind of thing, with this one thing, because other people know about it. And the idea is, if you know the future, you have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
by not knowing, right, we have hope, right? That's the whole idea.
That's interesting.
This is something, it's not exactly the same, but this is very similar. You're leaning on this to say, "I'm going to ChatGPT. What do they say?"
Yeah. You know,
like, "Oh, I got to go to ChatGPT." It's like, no.
You're talking more to ChatGPT than your partner.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. As a side note, I feel like that's a bad business model to build a restaurant around something like, I mean, who's going to want to eat there? Who's going to want to, I mean, maybe keep the coffee coming.
Like, yeah, that's what it is.
Maybe, you know? A coffee shop. Maybe
that would be more, yeah.
But even that, you're not really drinking that. People are just going to stick around. I think you're almost better off just opening a store built around that device.
Right, right.
I feel like that'd be
I think, I believe the name of the if you want to watch it, it's a good episode. If you want to watch it, I believe it's called Nick of Time is the name of the episode. So, yeah.
Oh, that reminds me of a good movie, Nick of Time.
I know what you mean.
That's a good movie. That's a great one. You get a chance to see that one, anybody. Christopher Walken, Johnny Depp. They filmed it in real time. So the length of the movie is actually in time of the movie. There's
so cool,
a kidnapping
that
goes on and everything, and so you only have so much time to do these certain things. It's a good movie. Well done movie.
That's cool.
Let's see here. I wanted to talk about this one too, Seth.
All right.
So if you miss a deadline, we all miss deadlines.
We do.
It can be frustrating. Researchers at the University of Toronto found that if you submit a piece of work late, people will think that it's lower in quality than if you were to submit the exact same work on time or early.
Wow.
So in other words, not only do you take a big hit for being late, but the extra effort is immediately canceled out by the late work seemingly worse than because you missed the deadline.
Wow.
And the reason is simple. It makes you less competent. They did a series of experiments where they showed people in management positions the same examples of work, including advertising flyers, art, business proposals, photography, and asked them to rate it. They also noted if the work was submitted early, on time, or late, and managers consistently rated the late work as worse in quality compared to the same work, which was labeled on time. So there was no difference other than label. And they immediately thought that it was worse work.
Wow.
And there are a few more interesting details with that, although that one right there is pretty interesting.
That's pretty interesting, yeah.
It didn't matter if the work was early. The work scored the same as the stuff that was submitted at the deadline.
Wow.
So getting early doesn't really help.
That doesn't help either.
Any real points there.
Interesting.
And it didn't matter how late the work was. Late was late. It doesn't matter if it was one day late or one week late. So that's kind of
Really interesting. You know, James, we're in an industry where if you miss a deadline, you know about it right away because it's dead air.
We can't really.
I mean, we're sometimes late with stuff, but it's one of those things. We have great motivation to make sure everything's on time.
I don't know if I was ever necessarily late for things a lot, but I grew up with a father that was very adamant about Jimmy. You know, you're going to a party, be there. You know, the last person. You want to show up late,
really?
And all that and everything. Yeah.
Wow.
He's very adamant about that's the cool way to enter and all that and stuff.
Fashionably late, right?
Yes. Exactly. But there is as soon as I started in radio, I've been a much more of a timing person, and I have no excuse to be late for things because I everything in my brain is such a time thing.
Right.
I can't help it. It's you get into this business and you do this for a long enough time, and there are certain parts of it that stay with you.
Right.
I almost guarantee any old radio head out there is a very similar place.
You know, and it's one of the nice things. One thing I do have is a very good sense of time. You know, I'm one of those people that if you know, even if I don't look at a clock and I kind of have an idea, I know what time it is, kind of thing. I'm really good at that. Or distance, how much time something's going to take, how long it's going to get there. I'm very good at that. And don't think I'm not just trying to toot my own heart. The inverse of that, I have a horrible sense of direction. So because I have a good sense of time, I have a horrible sense of direction. That was how that one worked out. But
you get one or the other.
That's
how it works.
But even with that, you know, it was being in radio is something different, man. You really got to learn down to the second sometimes. You know how much time you got, kind of thing. So
it really is a second by second.
It is.
It didn't matter how much late it was. It was still looked at as late. However, the reason behind the missing deadline mattered. If there are forces beyond an employee's control, such as jury duty, evaluators didn't end up with a negative review at all.
So if it was something that out of your control, then it was fine. A hurricane hit or something that, right? Yeah. That makes sense. I guess, wow, that's interesting.
And kind of encouraging.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of encouraging to see. And finally, researchers also found the negative effects weren't as severe if they described the deadline or the work as, quote, not particularly important. So if it's late, but, hey, you know, get it to me when here's your deadline, but it's a loose deadline.
Right. So in other words, I think what we're getting here is that if you have an important project or something like that, something that's deemed very valuable or something like that, make sure you hit your deadline. Because apparently that makes it look a lot better than if you, miss it even by a short period.
I was kind of hoping to learn something from this. I don't know if we did, but I feel like we confirmed what we all know about being
at least
time.
And, sensed, right? Yeah, maybe we didn't know it, but we did sense that actually does make a lot of sense. So that's nice. It's good to know, though.
If you're curious, want to read more about this, you can go to phys.org. That's PHYS.org, phys.org. Bet they didn't have a hard time getting that one. That was probably just sitting out
there. I'm guessing it's a physics. It must be a physics website.
I think so. We'll take a time out. We'll come back, and we got some more fun stuff for you lined up on the morning show here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Hey there. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and an answer to the question, how often should I take my car in to get it serviced? As somebody who's worked on cars and knows a little bit about them, I admit that my instincts here are 100% wrong. I always want to say, oh, I'll just know when it's time. I'll feel it. But that's pretty hard to make a plan or a budget around. And my husband has made an honest car owner out of me by scheduling our maintenance on the calendar according to the book that everybody has and nobody reads, the manual in your glove compartment. Yep. Even the motorheads over at cartalk.com. Remember that old Car Talk radio show that was one of my favorites, with Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers? They say that taking your car in, on the schedule, dictated by the people who made it, is the best way to keep it in shape. So grab that manual, and if you want more tips on saving, head over to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, we start the first weekend without a Packer game in a while, but also the first weekend without political ads in a long time, plus Brittany Merlot's weekend forecast.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
A little patchy fog or some low clouds this morning, but we will clear out. It'll be mostly sunny later this morning into this afternoon with a high in the low 50s today. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
So 80s. Oh, man, that is so 80s. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Seth and James here with you. Hope you're having a good Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve.
Yeah.
We are here to have some fun, take you to the top of the hour. We will kick off the 9 o'clock with our friends from the Southfield County Humane Society.
Yes. I have real quick, and I just learned this recently. The Pointer Sisters grew up in Oakland. In that same neighborhood were also, let's see if I can remember all of the people there, at least three baseball players, Frank Robinson, Kurt Flood, and Vita Ponson. Wow. Bill Russell also grew up in that same neighborhood, and that is also the neighborhood of Ricky Henderson.
Oh!
All in the same neighborhood in Oakland. They all went to the same school.
Oh, my God. Man, that talent show had
I'm
to be
telling
amazing.
You. Yes.
Yeah, a heck of a talent show.
And the Pointer and their brother, by the way, I don't know if you know this, their brother was an NFL official for many, many years.
Oh. I didn't know that.
That was also in the area where John Madden grew up, too, by the
okay.
way.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. any relation to Buster Poindexter? Any? No? No? Okay.
It's Pointer, not
Pointer. It's Pointer. You're right.
His name is David Jansen.
Really,
come on, man.
Really should have thought that joke through.
not bad, though.
Louis Vuitton is one of the more popular brands and expensive brands in the world. I've actually only seen Louis Vuitton things. I've never touched anything or seen anything of that.
Right, yeah.
So what if I told you that you could get a brand new house for just $60,000? But hang on, the next part is important because Louis Vuitton is now selling a designer dog house for $60,000.
Oh, wow.
So you wouldn't have to live in a dog house, but it is Louis Vuitton. The whole thing is covered in the tan and brown Louis Vuitton pattern they use for their purses. It's technically a kennel, so an indoor dog house.
Oh, wow. It's not even an outdoor dog house. Oh, come on.
If you left it outside, you'd ruin the cowhide leather trim and a monogram-coated canvas. It also comes with a golden-toned hardware, a removable door, and a hidden hatch on the bottom for easy cleaning.
Okay.
It's part of the person that buys this is going to clean it.
They're not going to clean it. Yes, exactly.
It's part of the fashion brand's new pet line that includes a $2,200 dog bowl, a $2,300 pet flask, and a $470 poop bag holder. I don't care what the scenario, who the person is. I walk into their house and I see this doghouse. I'm walking right out. I'm like, you and me are not going to get along.
Okay,
you and me are.
I agree with you more. 100%. But I gotta say, business wise, not a bad idea for Louis Vuitton to do the pet, start in the pet thing, man.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
I'm sure there are people that can afford this, mind you, but I don't know.
It actually looks like a doghouse, like an outside doghouse, but you can't put it outside.
Yeah, I got to say something to it. This is not going to be popular. The Louis Vuitton like pattern and all that is very ugly to me.
Yeah,
it is extremely ugly.
I'm not digging it, especially for a doghouse.
I could see it like working if it was cheaper.
Oh, 100%.
It's one thing to have to pay these prices, but then you put on the fact that it just looks ugly to me. Like these are, it's an ugly color. The pattern,
that's a really interesting brown, logo. Dark brown. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it.
We're just not fashion guys, I guess.
That is very clear with me. That is very, very clear with me. Louis Vuitton may have just gotten actually like a raise, and like just by me not liking it, it actually might have helped.
It's like, well, oh wow, well we know it must be good taste then.
I got to see like what an almost $500 poop bag holder is. Yeah, it's just a little bit. It's not even a bag. It's open in there.
It's like a duffel. It's supposed to carry the bags, I think.
That ain't right.
Your poop bags, I think those stay the same. But, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how you could do that. I don't get how you could see that that's a good idea. Not sure.
You have more money than sense. Now, most people who have a lot of money don't have a lot of sense. Let's put it there.
I think this guy might have had a good idea.
Okay.
An Oregon man hollowed out his prized 1,214-pound pumpkin and plunged it into a Washington River for a record-breaking 45.67-mile paddling journey.
Really?
Gary Christensen, a Happy Valley man who has been growing giant pumpkins since 2011, started covering his gargantuan gourds into boats mm-hmm. into 2013 to compete in the West Coast Giant Pumpkin Regatta, which he has won for the past four consecutive years.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. Kristen hollowed out a pumpkin he dubbed a Punky Loafster this year to take on his longtime goal of breaking the Guinness World Record for the longest paddling journey by a pumpkin boat.
Okay.
His 45-mile journey down the Columbian River, which took him more than 26 hours, aimed to break the previous record of about 39 miles.
Wow.
Kristen said his journey was complicated by wind and unstable waters.
Okay.
Quote, there were 30 to 35 mile per hour winds.
Whoa.
At about 5 miles into the trip. We started at the Bonneville Dam, and the waves were pretty hectic over there. Kristen used a camera mounted to a broomstick to record his journey and printed the words, "It's real," on the side of the pumpkin to answer the most obvious question that might have been asked by
curious
onlookers. Yeah. I love the idea of you're just walking the dog with your cheap bag, and you just happen to see some guy, and he's just going down the river.
In a pumpkin, what looks like a carved-out pumpkin, right?
Yeah.
And okay, you know, two really quick things. By watching the video of it, though, that's really interesting. First of all, I had no idea that pumpkins could float.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. I did not know that. Second of all, I am convinced the only reason they started this whole thing was so they could name their boat Pumpkin Puns.
Yes.
That was the entire reason they started it, just so they could come up with clever puns. That's it.
And I completely support them on this. Yes. It is a very good use of time.
And that is okay with us.
It's a very good use of time. Just get that pun out there.
Oh.
I like rafting. I haven't done it mm-hmm. a lot in my life, but I like doing it. Mm-hmm. The idea of doing it in a pumpkin sounds a lot of fun, but I don't know if he kept up with this, but in some of the video, there were some, I'm imagining, friends or other people there in case this thing topsized.
Right, yes.
And he needed, you know, saving or anything like that. There were people nearby. I can't imagine how secure that is on the water and all that.
Well, and it has to, you know, and you have to compensate for the shape of the pumpkin because all pumpkins are shaped differently. Mm. And to make sure that you do it right so it doesn't, like you said, tip over. That's got to be like a whole job in and of itself to make sure you don't get too tippy there.
I like the idea of doing these things, of breaking these records. We've talked about this a number of times.
Yes, we have.
But there's ones that I'm, you know what, I'm good. I'm good. That one I would like to try. That one I think would be a lot of fun.
I think you could do a good job with that one, yeah.
However, a British daredevil was intentionally dragged behind his motorcycle at a speed of 159 miles an hour to break a Guinness World Record.
Oh, no.
And he can have this one. This is all his.
Good for you, dude.
I'm surprised the record's not like 20 miles an hour. Like, nobody wants this record. Like, no. You wouldn't have to try very hard. Johnny Davies took on the challenge at the Ultimate Supercar Show and planted his feet on the ground behind his modified Kawasaki Ninja on the tarmac of the airfield over in Yorkshire in England.
Oh, wow.
His motorcycle was clocked going 159 miles an hour during the stunt, earning him the Guinness World Record for the fastest speed dragged behind a motorcycle. The previous record was 156 by another guy named Gary in 99.
Wow, that's been a long time since 99. Wow.
You can definitely tell that this is not one of those ones that's more sought after.
That people are clamoring to do. No.
Yeah.
And he dragged by a motorcycle. Oh, my gosh.
I can't. There are a handful of these where I look at them and I'm like, I don't know how, like, let alone breaking the record. I wouldn't want to do it once.
Like to train. And you got to train for it, right? You'd think.
There seems to be some of these, too, that are almost designed to, like, how can I, like, hurt myself? Because you got to, yes. I imagine that you're doing trial runs of these things.
Yes.
You're not, this isn't just a one-off.
See, you know, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about what happened to Evel Knievel, you know, the Daredevil motorcycle. That's why we need Daredevils. So people like this guy can get the catharsis from seeing him jump the Snake River. Okay?
Yes.
So then they don't try stuff like this. That's why we need Evel Knievel. See, I knew I'd come up with a reason for it.
There we go. Finally, it's a good callback. It's a good callback.
A message, 3 weeks ago.
A message in a bottle into an Ontario lake as a part of a school project was found by a student at the same school 26 years later.
No, really? Oh, wow.
How cool is that?
That is cool.
Mackenzie Van Eyck was a fourth grade student at St. John the Baptist Catholic Elementary School in Belle River when she and her classmates threw messages into a bottle into Lake St. Clair. River Vandenberg, a current kindergarten student at the school, found the bottle while visiting the beach with her grandmother.
Oh, wow.
And her name is River. That's perfect.
That's very good.
Quote, the letter is coming from Mackenzie Morris, and I go to St. John and Baptist School. I am in grade 4. my letter is about water in Great Lakes. We read a book called Paddle to the Sea, and it was a very good book.
Oh, wow.
So she's just got a book recommendation.
That's even better. How cool is that?
Vandenberg took the message in a bottle to his school, where a fourth grade teacher read it to the class that included Van Elk's daughter, Scarlett. Wow.
How cool is that, too? Oh, man.
Quote, my mouth completely dropped, and everyone was like, who's that? Who's that? It was like, that's my mother, Scarlett told people. These kids were flipping out.
That's so awesome. Oh, my gosh.
Mackenzie said she occasionally thought about the message in a bottle over the years and wondered what had happened to it.
Mm-hmm.
Roland St. Pierre, the now retired teacher who came up with the message in a bottle assignment in 1998, said it was emotional to hear that one of the bottles had been found there so many years later.
Wow.
Every grade school should do these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. I mean, especially, like, look at our town. We got a river right here, man.
Yeah, that's right.
It seems like a fun idea.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even have to do this as a trip. You do it in class and let the kids, you know, go at home and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And drop them off.
Yeah.
With their parents, of course, and everything.
Yeah.
But I think that's a fun idea. Another good idea. Just like during the pandemic, we're at a point where a lot of people could use a breather, a reset,
mm-hmm.
Whatever words, terms, verbs you want to use.
Right.
And just like during the pandemic, Steve Burns, the original host of Blue's Clues,
mm-hmm.
Is doing what we all need. Yesterday, he posted a video on TikTok where he's outside leaning on a fence, just drinking a cup of coffee, and he actually brings two cups. And he kind of sets one under the camera, so it's almost going to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just sits there. There's a bird singing in the distance. It's just him there, just taking a breath in nature.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Without saying anything, it says enough to anyone who's having trouble, you know, just in this day and age.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of focus being put on the election and mental health from the election and the stresses that have come from that.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens every election cycle. But I think that there is an added edge to it or tone to it.
Mm-hmm.
With where we are with mental health these days.
Right.
And the way we talk about this. It's a really cool video. I mentioned that there's some Elmo videos out there as well that are pretty cool.
Yeah, we mentioned that earlier this week, I believe. Yeah.
And there's a bunch of good ones out there. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're looking for those palate cleansers, they're out there.
They're out there, everybody.
And if you're looking for something fun to do, we have got you covered, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
The Glenn Miller Orchestra in the Mood is going on tonight at the PAC over at the Performing Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
This is an amazing band. They are continuing. They're traveling over 1,000 miles each year to travel and bring this. And they're one of my sought-after bands.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They've got the Arts Council is really proud to bring them here. This band is not only going to be playing some of the classic music that you know from the band, from the Glenn Miller Orchestra, mm-hmm. but some other fun stuff too.
Yep.
And they got a dinner available with this. Dinner tickets for the Lake Air Supper Club are also available for the show. Okay. You can get those at savorthearts.com. That's savorthearts.com. I encourage you to do that. Tickets are available for purchase for at least four of the remaining season performances. So keep that in mind as well. They got more tickets available over there. We happen to be a sponsor of this event.
Yeah.
And we're very proud to be and proud of what Sally and the gang over there at the Arts Council do.
Some great, great acts come to town, man.
They've got so many great shows this year.
I'm telling you, yeah.
Encourage you to check this out. And this mm-hmm. band in particular, one of the greatest bands of all time, touring worldwide since 56, a direct continuation of Glenn's original band.
Which is so cool.
Featuring top-tier musicians from around the world. It means something to be brought into this band.
Absolutely. They do not. I mean, this is the top-tier stuff.
You've got to be really good.
Yep.
Not only do this, so you have something like that coming to town here, mm-hmm. but you got so many other great acts coming up. Keep in mind, they have a great show every December, and Boogie and the Yo-Yos, Christmas with You is going to be coming up.
That's going to be so much fun.
That is a great show. Boogie and Yo-Yo has been around for a long time.
Yes, they have.
That is going to be a really good show. This Glenn Miller act is a great one. We encourage you to call the Arts Council at 715-424-2787, 424-2787, or visit their website, savorthearts.com,
mm-hmm.
or call up 715-424-2600. I usually wait until the end of the show. I'm doing it now.
Doing it right now, everybody.
Curveball. wild card. Go ahead and call up 715-424-2600. Call up and win yourself two tickets to see the Glenn Miller Orchestra tonight over at the PAC. And we appreciate you doing that.
Yes.
We'll be back with more show. We'll be back with our friends from the Southfield County Humane Society coming up right here on The Morning Show.
This is locally grown